This is Retirement Paradise with Greg Gunther from the Retirement Optimization Group. When a part of your financial strategy is out of tune, your long-term goals, your retirement savings, and your legacy can all suffer. With many years of experience in the financial industry, Greg provides his clients and prospects with the information they need regarding Social Security, retirement income planning, wealth management, and much more. Listen in as we address your financial concerns and provide helpful solutions to put you on the path to achieving your retirement goals. Your money and your plans in perfect harmony. And now here is Greg Gunther to help you retire in paradise.
Aloha, welcome back to Retirement Paradise. This is Greg Gunther from the Retirement Optimization Group. If you'd like some more information about what you hear during our show today, give us a call at 808-791-2924 or visit us online at therogroup.org. Now think back to perhaps the summer of 2024. The market and the broader economy were relatively stable, and because of that, you decided that you officially wanted to retire at some point in 2025. But here we are now in the first half of 2025, tariffs dominating the news, markets kind of volatile to say the least, and you know, some economic anxiety is surging. Now, all of which begs the question, is 2025 still my year to retire? During today's show, we're going to answer that important question. Before we get into today's subject, let me introduce my co-host with us as always, the one and only Tony Shore, whose steadiness I appreciate during times of volatility.
Yeah, well, slow and steady wins the race is the motto. That's where we should all be. But I don't know about that. I'll take it, though. I do my best to stay calm. But, you know, when you see the news today, Greg, I mean, seriously, you look at your phone, however you get your news, you watch the TV, and it's crazy, right? They're constantly trying to make it sound like the world is ending tomorrow, don't they?
Yeah, I was looking to try to find the bad stuff and amplify it. And, you know, we've been through this before. 2022 was a pretty bad year. 08, of course, everybody remembers that. That yep. delayed a lot of retirements in 08.
Yeah.
But is 2025 a bad enough year to maybe postpone your retirement? Let's dive into that. I have a Kiplinger article here. It's titled, sure. Is 2025 a bad year to retire with the stock market being down? Well, actually, they call it in the dumps. I think that's a little drastic, you know. I mean, we're kind of back where we were on January 1st at this point, so it's kind of overstated, but still, it's not a bull market. We can at least all agree on that. So it's not exactly rolling out the red carpet for retirees. We can agree. The markets are sliding. 401ks are, you know, you probably have taken a pretty significant paper loss. And of course, with the tariffs still hanging around, kind of like that guest who's the last one to leave your party, you know, and talk about egg prices. That's in the news too. They were up over 60%, but those are coming down, and who knew omelets would be a luxury item, right?
Oh man. Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy.
If you're planning to retire this year, it's totally normal to feel a little nervous, right? Nobody dreams of starting retirement with their investments on the downside and inflation on the upside. And with retirement potentially stretching now for 20, 30 years, that's a long road to think about. But here's where we zoom out now. Whether 2025 is truly a bad year to retire really depends on your personal setup. How much have you saved? Where will you be drawing your income from? What kind of lifestyle do you envision in your golden years? And a financial pro puts it like this. If you're planning to live off of your principal right away, this could be a bumpier start. If you can delay tapping into those core savings, live off of other income sources, you'll probably be just fine. You know, and our clients are set up to make money in negative markets and generate enough yield. You should be set up to be able to withstand whatever the market throws at you. So don't let those headlines make the call for you. Your retirement timing isn't just about the markets. It's about your goals, your flexibility, and not your tolerance for $9 eggs.
Right. So, it's going to be a good news, bad news show today, Greg. So let's start with the potential bad news. You outlined some of it. Why might 2025 be a bad year to retire?
All right. Let's talk about something that doesn't get nearly enough airtime, but you can make or break your retirement plans. The dreaded sequence of returns risk. All right. I talk about that a lot with my clients. Yeah. It sounds fancy, but here's the simple version. If the market takes a dip right as you're stepping into retirement and you need to start withdrawing money from your investments, you're going to be pulling from the worst possible time, right? You're going to be selling low. And when you sell low, that money doesn't get a chance to bounce back when the market recovers. So that could hurt. You actually lock in your losses. So far, 2025 is giving off proceed with caution vibes. The markets are dipping. And let's be honest, we've been riding, you know, pretty good waves of news for a while now. A correction was bound to happen eventually. They always do. And the key question is, how flexible are you when it comes to pulling money from your portfolio? Because here's the deal. If you're in a position where you have to sell investments while they're down, say, 20%, that's the double whammy. Not only are prices down, but you're locking in those losses just to cover your expenses. It's like selling your car during a snowstorm because gas is too expensive. You know, it might feel necessary, but it's probably not the best timing. And here's another trap. When people see their portfolios drop, the instinct is to get super conservative and run for the hills, or at least, you know, to cash. But going all in on cash in a downturn, it's like jumping out of the boat mid-storm. You know, you miss the rebound. And history shows time and time again, the rebounds happen.
Right. And that's true. You know, I mean, if you think back to the Great Recession in 2008, or even the COVID dip, the people who actually stayed the course during those times, they didn't just recover. They actually came out ahead, didn't they?
Exactly. Yeah, that's absolutely correct. You know, and who bailed out and who locked in their losses? They made the classic investing mistake, selling low and buying high. And that's exactly the opposite of what you're supposed to do. And emotions can be sneaky about that. And what if the portfolio doesn't recover because it's sitting in cash? You know, that could mean that having to go back to work. And that's, let's be real, you probably don't want your old job back in the corner office. Right. It might be time more like a part-time gig or something that maybe just covers your basic expenses. Not exactly your dream retirement scenario, right?
Right.
So here's a simpler way to think about it. If you could cover your living expenses for the next 2 to 3 years without touching your investments, you're probably in a pretty good spot to retire, even in a rocky market. But if you know you'll need to start selling your stocks to pay the bills, it might be smart to wait it out a bit longer. Give the market some breathing room and give yourself some breathing room. You shouldn't be invested 100% in the market anyway. You should have your portfolio set up so it's more diversified. Diversified doesn't necessarily just mean several stocks or several accounts. It's different methods of investing. You should have it stacked. Have a conservative, have an emergency fund, have a medium, and have an aggressive long-term fund. You have to ride out these storms and make sure you're set up, because it doesn't just stop when you retire. It's going to continue for a long time.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. And so it sounds like you need a written plan and some strategies to deal with all this. How can our listeners get that plan set up from you?
Yeah, like I said earlier on the show too, we've got portfolios that, you know, our clients make money in flat and negative markets. We have positive returns in negative markets. And it's about broad diversification and being able to withstand whatever the market throws at you. If anyone has any questions, you want a second look at the portfolio, feel free to give us a call at 808-791-2924 or visit us online at therogroup.org.
All right. That sounds good. Now, we're talking about the current financial picture. We've had a lot of volatility this year. People are concerned, and especially if they're getting close to retirement. So is there any good news out there, Greg?
Well, yeah. The Kiplinger article I referenced does give us some reasons for optimism, right? Let's be real. Stocks go up, stocks go down. That's what they do. But if you've been playing the long game and saving consistently, diversifying those investments and keeping your debt under control, 2025 might just be fine for retiring. Seriously. Inflation, it's actually behaving for now. It's down. The CPI, the Consumer Price Index in February, came in at 2.8% year over year. That's normal inflation. That's where we kind of want to be. It's not too shabby. Tariffs are still a bit of a wild card, but so far, you know, your morning coffee and grocery bill haven't exploded. There's also different trade deals coming to the table. So before you start packing for that celebratory cruise and digging out your pickleball paddle, you know, the article urges you to do a little pulse check financially to make sure that you're truly retirement ready, especially if the market throws a tantrum in your first couple of years out of the workforce.
Yeah. So what kind of information could be revealed during one of these checkups?
Well, here are a few key questions that you could ask yourself, kind of like a retirement readiness quiz. Have you been maxing out your 401k and taking advantage of those catch-up contributions that are available after age 50? Or have you teamed up with a financial pro and make sure that you have optimized your situation, looking at your income, your portfolio, as well as your tax situation? Or how about, is your living setup affordable and stable and it's not going to drive you crazy? And probably most importantly, can you emotionally handle watching your portfolio dip without freaking out? Now that you're not getting a steady paycheck, you might have a different perspective on that. A financial services professional quoted in the article recommends running a few what-if scenarios. For example, what happens if your portfolio drops 10% in the first year? Do you still have enough cash on hand to cover your expenses? If you start taking withdrawals from your 401k or your IRA and the market stays sluggish, are you still going to be okay? You should be able to answer these questions with a resounding yes, because you shouldn't be relying on selling your investments to produce income. There are so many other ways to be producing income that it doesn't really matter what the market says.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. And working with somebody like yourself is another way you can answer some of those important questions to help figure out, is 2025 my year to retire? When can I retire? Is my risk tolerance going to be able to deal with it? Is my portfolio ready? Things like that. Correct?
Yeah. And open your mind. Right. And I kind of hinted to it earlier in the segment, is retirement's not a finish line. It's going to keep going, right? It's the start of a new chapter. You're going to be traveling. You're going to be hopefully spending some time with your family, you know, kids and grandkids, learning how to, I don't know, cook a new dish. You never know. It's something you should be excited about.
Yeah.
But if all those signs point to yes in those what if questions, and you've done the work to get here, then don't let market noise throw you off course. If you're not feeling confident, or if you're already eyeing next year's retirement numbers, there is no shame in hitting the pause button and waiting a little bit longer. It should feel right, and it should be fun, and it should be exciting. It's and maybe even a little bit more like a solid taste of freedom.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be good. So what does 2025 look like, or the next year or so look like, for people who feel like they're running a bit behind where they'd like to be with that retirement savings?
That's a good question. Okay. We can reference another Kiplinger article here, Late to the Retirement Savings Party. So those people that are a little behind, as you said, here's five tips to give you some helpful perspective. First recommendation, build your retirement savings with those catch-up contributions. If your 401k looks a little neglected, it's time to show it some love now. Seriously, even small changes can make a big difference. For this year, if you're under 50, you can contribute $23,500, not including any matching. But even if you can't swing that max, at least grab the minimum of the match. That's free money. And who says no to free money? That's part of your pay. Let's say the example is your company matches 100% of up to 5% of your contributions or your salary. So if you make $70,000, you contribute 5%, that's $3,500. You'll end up with $7,000 going into that 401k. Do that consistently over and over again. And then boom, over 10 years with just a modest 7% return, you're looking at six figures. You got over 100 grand. Hmm. That's not too shabby. That's something that you can actually work with. Now, if you're over than 50, take a look at these catch-up provisions. You can put $31,000 in this year, and that's not including those matches. If you're between 60 and 63, there's actually a super catch-up that bumps it up to $34,750. That's turbocharging your nest egg. Now, beyond that, if you're already maxing that out, consider some extra savings tips. Your private sector IRAs, ETFs, taxable brokerage account, index funds, maybe even an annuity, depending on your goals and your age. And hey, before you panic about being behind, check out the average savings by age. Odds are you're probably doing better than you think.
Ah, there you go. Well, that's good advice, a really important advice. What do you have for us next?
All right, let's talk about two powerful ways to boost your retirement game: working a little longer and making your savings automatic. Now, might not sound like revolutionary advice, but you know what? It works. We all have that magic number in our heads, right? I'm retiring at 62, not a day later. But adding just a couple extra working years can really do wonders. It's more time to save. It's more time for your investments to grow. And it's also time that you're not withdrawing from those accounts. And guess what? It's also time to pay down any of that lingering debt. So if you have any credit card debt hanging around from years past, this is time to knock that out. And here's the real MVP move. It's making your savings automatic. Take yourself out of the decision-making. If the money leaves your paycheck or bank account before you see it, you probably won't even miss it. And your future self will be doing a little happy dance. And it's kind of like financial stealth mode. You learn to live on less without realizing it. And then all of a sudden your nest egg quietly fattens up in the background. So if you're curious about retiring comfortably, and maybe even with some champagne on hand, a few extra working years and some autopilot savings can make all the difference.
Yeah, I think that's huge. So what else do we need to know? What else did you want to touch on today, Greg?
Well, cutting into that article a little bit more, new year, new budget. Maybe not as exciting as new year, new you, but honestly, it might be more powerful.
Right.
One great place to begin is the 50-30-20 rule. So that's 50% of your income goes to your needs, 30% goes to wants, and 20% goes to either savings or to eliminate debt. Hmm. It's simple, but it's effective, and it doesn't require a spreadsheet, you know, that looks all complicated. So step one, just write down what you're spending, all of it. Yeah, even those little sneaky little app subscriptions that your daily habit that's become a personal trait.
Yep.
Bottom line is you can save more, but probably not if you keep spending in the same way. A fresh budget is your starting line. And when we're talking about expenses, here's a sneaky one. Investment fees. They might not seem like a big deal, but if you're paying excessive fees, it could really delay your retirement. I've seen fees, Sony, on some of these like variable annuities upwards of 4% a year. Now, that's ridiculous. And you wonder why your variable annuity may not be growing that much. You need to get those fees down significantly. There's other ways to do income, and you can get a really good return on a really quality portfolio that should pay for itself. Your fees should be minimum, and the benefits of the portfolio should outweigh any of those fees you pay. So
sure. And there are a lot better annuities than a variable, too. I mean,
absolutely. Yeah.
The fees are outrageously high. And if the market loses money, they lose value. So you get on, and you're still paying the fees. So, yeah.
My least favorite investment vehicle, honestly, are those variable annuities. You can do so much better.
Yeah.
You should work on finding hidden savings. You've slashed your budget. You've swapped takeout for home cooked meals. You started making your own coffee. No more Starbucks, right? But if you're still struggling to save, it might be time to go treasure hunting in your expenses, because you could have money hiding in plain sight. Look at insurance, for example. When's the last time you actually shopped around and listened to the Geico commercial and you look for your homeowners and your auto insurance? If it's been a while, there's a decent chance you're overpaying. Mm-hmm. Just review your coverage. It could be eye-opening. You might be paying for stuff you don't even need, like that rental car coverage. You haven't rented a car in 6 years. Next stop, your phone bill, internet, cable, streaming service, subscriptions. Do you really need the Platinum Ultra Premium cable with these streaming platforms? Chances are you probably only watch like Hulu or YouTube and one other channel. So why are you paying for all that stuff?
Sure. Makes sense. Well, yeah, there are a lot of ways to save, and you need to save more and put it in, you know, catch up contributions into your retirement account. You can save in these other areas that you were talking about and then make that happen. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of people use tax refunds as a forced savings. Now, that's not the best financial, because you get 0% on it. You're basically giving the 0% loan. And when most people spend it on things like a vacation, you know, or something that they normally wouldn't buy themselves, like a fancy espresso machine or, you know, outfit or whatever. Now, before you start doing that, consider paying yourself first.
Yes.
Put it towards your retirement savings. It might not be as fun, but the future you, the one that's sipping cocktails at 3 p.m. on a Tuesday, that's the one who's going to love it for you.
Yep. Exactly right. Well, I think that's fantastic. Now, what else do you have for us today, Greg?
Well, people talk about possibly selling their home and downsizing. How could that fit into it? There's a retirement strategy that some folks do lean on heavily, and that's the house as a piggy bank plan. You know the one, I'll just sell my home when I retire and live off the proceeds. Very popular in Hawaii, because you have a modest, say, 1,200 square foot home that you could probably get $1.5 million for, and you could move to Vegas and buy a really nice house for 500,000, 700,000 and live off of the proceeds. In theory, yep. that works. And if your mortgage is paid off and your home value is up, downsizing could be a good thing. Now, what I always tell, you know, my clients that are doing that is you can always do that as an upgrade, you know, as far as your house and your lifestyle might be concerned, but you can never move back to the island. You know, it's kind of a one-way ticket. You can't sell your Vegas house.
And you realize how much you, and then you realize, I can only gamble so much, or I can only stand the desert so much. You exactly. better make sure you're ready to make that move permanent, right?
Right. Make sure you think that through hard. And you're also at the mercy of the real estate market. It's a bad time to sell, or prices are down. You might not get what you hope for. Yeah. And no one wants to retire and suddenly become stressed out as a home seller. So,
yeah.
Even if you do sell, there's the where do I go now dilemma, you know, the dreamy beachfront town or maybe another neighbor island or a mountain village. Turns out a lot of them could be just as pricey than where you live.
So, yeah.
Unless you're trading your beach house for something in a cornfield or desert, like you said, it might be kind of rethink that plan.
Right. There might be a small town in North Dakota you could move to that might be less, but real estate all over has started to go through the roof. Obviously, Hawaii, usually you can sell for more and buy something equitable for much less elsewhere. But even that is, you know, I think those margins have went down recently. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying housing prices in Hawaii have went down. I just think they're going up exponentially everywhere, right?
Yeah, it's kind of nice having limited real estate because we have demand from everywhere and there's only so much space. So that helps the property values here. Years ago, Tony, we always talked about, you know, retirement, where best places were to retire. And Tennessee always came up as top of the list. And I was thinking, man, that'd be a good time to buy like a lake house or something like that. And, you know, since then, when we did that, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, like I think prices in Tennessee have almost doubled. Like it has really shot up.
They have, and they've tripled in some areas. I mean, south of Nashville, like Franklin, prices have gone through the roof. I mean, just pretty amazing.
Word got out.
Word got out. That same way with like Austin, Texas. You know, it used to be the number one town to move to, like the best town in America to live in. And then everybody moved there. And then, you know, now it takes 2 hours in traffic to get anywhere because the roads weren't built for all those people who moved in. And
those reservoirs are emptying too.
Right. Yeah. So it creates problems. It depends on your time horizon. By the time you hear about something, unless you move right away, it might be too late. But you made some great points in today's show. We're out of time. Greg, before we go, though, let our listeners know how they can get a hold of you. I know you love talking to people. You love hearing from our listeners, answering their questions. What can our listeners do to get up or get an appointment set up and get that appointment made?
Yeah. Bottom line, you know, the topic of the show was, can you still retire in 2025? And the year is absolutely yes, if you have everything in the right place. So again, we have high yield portfolios that pay in a negative market. We've got protection. We've got guaranteed lifetime incomes. I mean, you just need to be set up correctly and work with somebody that has done it before and knows your situation. So if you have any questions, you want to set a plan, or you need a second opinion, give us a call at 808-791-2924. Or visit us online at therogroup.org.
All right. Thanks, Greg. And that does it for today's episode of Retirement Paradise with our host, Greg Gunther.
Thank you for listening to Retirement Paradise. Don't pay too much for taxes or retire without a sound retirement plan. For more information, please contact Greg Gunther at the Retirement Optimization Group. Call 808-791-2924 or visit their website at therogroup.org.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.